We have a special guest today. He's been here before, but I am going to introduce him anyways, because I found something really neat on the internet. Here we go. Reverend Carl Wesley Anderson is an international equipping evangelist and documentary filmmaker. His vision through itinerant ministry and his unique calling as a media missionary, get this, I love this part, is to inspire and equip believers for passionate discipleship and hearing God's voice. Carl is the author of Love Speaks, as well as the writer, director, and producer of the Love Speaks film series, and he's brought that with him here today. I would encourage you to look at that and the book titled Love Speaks. Now, on a personal note, Ian Peters recommended this on his Facebook site, and I thought, well, if Ian thinks it's good, I got to check it out. So I did just that. I've read the book. I've watched the film series. Thank you, Carl, for doing that. You touched me, and I learned much. I would also tell you that this series here, he's just not standing behind a podium like me. This dude traveled all over the world, and he has got some beautiful scenery in there. Now, that's second, of course. What he teaches us is really important, but there is some beautiful scenery in this film series, too. So I would just ask you now, Pastor Carl, would you please come up here, and would you give him a great big jubilee welcome?
Thank you, brother.
I'm a hugger.
Thanks, Larry. Good morning. Thank you all. How many of you remember me from about 2 years ago? Okay, I can't believe it. Wow, you actually are admitting that. Thank you. Great to be back. I consider this church sort of one of my, just like you guys are family. So I really appreciate you, and appreciate Pastor Mark and Becky inviting me back. It's very much an honor to speak in a pulpit of the pastor who entrusts me with you guys. So I'm really honored to do that. I hope and pray that the message that I'm going to share will be an inspiration to you today. I'm going to just mention, first of all, that offertory scripture. That's very special to me. Some of you know, let me just share a little bit about myself, and then I'll share a little bit about the series. But I started preaching at the age of 17 in Lutheran church settings. So I was a good Lutheran back then, and you can always tell a good Lutheran because they're usually pretty well-dressed, and they like their personal space. It's the Scandinavian Germanic thing. I can see we have a lot of Lutherans here. Okay. And former Lutherans, yes, former. So I came to know the Lord in an intimate way at age 20. I gave my heart to Jesus. I then moved to Los Angeles to pursue filmmaking. I was going to be a film director at first. And while I was out there, I stumbled into a church. I met this beautiful girl who I thought would someday be my wife. It didn't work out that way, but we had one night together. She said, come to my church. I visited her church. It was John Wimber's Anaheim Vineyard Church, and I had never seen anything like it. And there are these two prophets prophesying, like we had this morning, prophesying over people all night. One was John Paul Jackson, one was Bob Jones. And I got wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I began to sing in tongues and speak in tongues, and my whole world changed. So I came back to Minneapolis thinking, maybe there's a calling on my life different from filmmaking. And sure enough, God said, yeah, I want you to do evangelism. So I got trained for a couple years. Then I traveled the world and was 14 trips to Europe in 2 years, all by faith. And then the Lord said to me one day, Carl, you travel all over the world telling people about me, but you don't really know me as my son. So I want you to lay down your ministry. First of all, it's not your ministry, it's mine. And I want you to get married, find yourself a wife, start a family, and start a wedding video business. Now, all of this came about in 7 months. I met my wife, Sarah. Her name means God's princess. I started a wedding video company. The name was Princess Bride. Any Princess Bride movie fans? A few of you? Okay.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Okay, so that was my company, Princess Bride. We rocked it, we rolled it, we started a family. To this day, I married 22 years to my beautiful wife, Sarah. We have three, yes, amen, three redheaded teenagers, my wife. And she brings you greetings today. She was with another missionary family this morning. Otherwise, she would be here. But we pursued God in the wedding video arena, in business. And then about 15 years into it, as I was preaching about four times a year in the nations, I got cancer. Now, how many of you remember me being here 2 years ago in the middle of cancer? And I have a very special thing to say to you. After I preached that morning, I was standing right here, and one of you prophetesses came up to me. Right here, and I was crying, and you gave me the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord for me in the middle of the cancer battle was praise, praise. The Lord said, praise me. It was praise, praise, praise. How many of you know when you're in the middle of the battle, that's the time to bring the sacrifice of praise? It's a sacrifice. Come on. You don't have the answer yet, but you know you're going to get there, so you sacrifice and you praise anyway. So thank you, Jubilee, because I rocked through that time. It was not easy. I had days of fear. I had days of trembling. I had to endure 59 weeks of fever on treatment in a row. Our video business started to disappear and dry up. In the middle of it, God visits me one day in prayer with Sarah. Says, Carl, I've called you now. I've got a new assignment. You're going to be my evangelist. You're going to keep preaching my word, but now I'm going to give you a new assignment. You're a media missionary. I want you to take your skills in documentary films and make documentary films that will inspire people to see the saints of the past and how they can see their stories of faith in the midst of their darkness and how we can be inspired to go on in our darkness and be the light today. Amen? That's my calling. Now, I get to the scripture from Larry this morning. He didn't know this, but that scripture, by the way, where's our worship leader? Is he here? Yes. Great job on the selections. Did you pick all those songs? I think you were listening to God. You had one song in there. Amen. Let's give him, come on, give it up for your worship leader. These guys work hard for you. They serve, they pray, they fast, they seek the Lord. And he had a song in there about fire. Guess what? Our ministry name is Born to Blaze Ministries. That boy was listening to God. We're all singing about the fire today. I'm born to blaze. And then in the end, we're singing about love. Love. Well, that's Love Speaks. So there you go. Good job. And the scripture. So 2 years ago, I visited London for the first time. It had been 4 years since I was able to travel there. And the Lord said to me, Carl, I want you to make seven documentary films, each one based on a different way that Love Speaks. I'll talk about the book in a minute. It's based on the book, but I'm going to tell you this. I had no resources to do it. All I had was vision. I had the voice of the Lord. So I began to write these scripts. By faith, I traveled to the UK four times in the middle of cancer treatments. So I would be on an infusion of a cancer treatment, then I would hop a plane that same night, fly over to London in the UK, film for 2 weeks, fly back, and go back into a cancer treatment the next day. The Lord provided the money each step of the way, and I felt like that little boy. All I had was a few fish and a few loaves, and I offered it to Jesus. I gave it to the master and said, Lord, if you can use what little I've got for your glory, take it and multiply it. And then I finished the films, and we hired this agent that said, we got to get this on TV for you. And all of a sudden, they got a deal with TBN, decides to air it. They're not charging Born to Blaze a penny. They're airing all seven films, and they're now airing in TBN UK to an audience over there of 24 million. This has now gone around the world, all because I just said, Lord, Master, take it and multiply it. So I want to, if I can just take a pause for 2 minutes, I want to show you the promo just to give you a taste of what the series is. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about Love Speaks. Then I'm going to preach a good message. So let's play that promo of the series.
What if you could recognize God's voice? What if you could recognize God's voice on a continual basis?
Sorry. There we go.
As a filmmaker, I was compelled to visit the actual sites that have stood the test of time, that I might experience for myself something of what these common people experienced, even as they heard the voice of God and had real life-changing encounters with Him, and history changed as a result. film in the series will document a new way in which you yourself can learn to hear the multifaceted voice of God, including ways that Jesus Christ, the Son, is reaching out in His Word, the Holy Spirit is reaching out from within, and the Father's love is everywhere. This is a collection of virtually untold stories of salvation history, an ongoing narrative where we find that God has been faithful to appear and speak in every generation. And because He's been that faithful, He will appear and speak to you and I in our own generation. In each of these episodes, we're going to find historical examples and modern-day examples, and how they're linked together in the Spirit, all through the faith and obedience of people searching for a faithful God who speaks to us every day, because love speaks. Come along with me as we journey together and discover that love speaks.
Okay, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. So that's available. These are, amen. Isn't that great? If you give God your everything, what He can do with it, isn't that awesome? So these are available at the back. These are the director's cuts with 40% more than being shown on TBN. So love speaks. Just want to share, you know, I had some incredibly difficult days, as I said, with those fevers. And in the middle of my cancer battle, not only did God speak to me and say, I'm giving you a new assignment as a media missionary. And so you're going to have a little media in this sermon today, if that's okay. I've got a few videos and things to show you. But also, he was undeniably present. You know, one of our words this morning from the brother, as you remember, he said, I am. The Lord said, I am. He reminds us, I am. You know, when He appeared to Moses at the burning bush, that was the revelation given to Moses in the midst of the burning bush. Remember the story. Moses was out there on the edge of the wilderness. All of a sudden, the bush was burning. And it says very clearly, as he turned to look intently, the Lord spoke. I like that. It means you must elevate your faith. You must elevate yourself to a place of looking intently, listening intently to hear the voice of God. That's what Moses did. As he looked intently into the burning bush, the Lord spoke. He said, I am. What he said, I am that I am. He means I am. God is. He is. He always is. And the whole point of the series was looking at salvation history. He's a faithful God. He's always appeared to every generation. He's going to appear to you today. Come on, somebody. That's the Lord we serve. I am. So that was a good word. I'll reference the other word a bit later we had from the sister. But listen, this book chronicles 21 different ways. Now, there's probably 100 more, but I only have 21 of them. So I want to give you a free gift. How many of you want something free today? Okay, just a few of you. I like to give stuff away. I'm going to start over here, and then we'll circulate this. This is just very simply, I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to our e-letter. You'll get a few introductory devotionals, and then just once a month, a little note from me. But I've got this free book, Hearing the Voice of Our Father, to give you. It's brand new that I've just written. It's free, so all you have to do is give us your email, first and last name. How many of you already received an email from me? Okay, just a few. Good. So please consider subscribing, and we'll get you that free ebook. It'll come to you just in a few days. And if you could just make sure that gets around the room, that'd be great. So love speaks. Are there really 21 ways? Well, let's get our fingers and toes out and count them. You ready? Okay, everybody ready? Okay, we're ready. Good. Okay, what are the 21 ways? Now listen carefully. Like our brother said this morning, you know, listen to me. Don't raise your hand. It's one of those exercises like that. So listen. Okay, here they are. The established word, the living word, the inner witness of the Spirit, the inner voice of the Spirit, the inner desires of the Spirit, nature and creation, providence, hearing the word of God preached, hearing God's voice through other people, visions, dreams, symbolic speech. How about holy coincidences? How about media? How about the four different gifts of the Holy Spirit that are all dealing with God's voice? And they are prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. How about angels could speak to you? How about Jesus Christ Himself could speak? Or how about the Father's audible voice? And that is 21. Come on, somebody. I told you I like to give stuff away. Somebody come up here. I want someone to come up here, the first one to come up here that can give us 7 of the 21 ways. You have to give us 7 of the 21. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Let's see how she does. Nice and loud.
Symbolism.
Okay, that'll work.
Through the Word of God.
Word of God, that'll work.
Through media.
Media, that'll work. No, it's the same thing. So I'm going to make you work for this book.
All right. So
she's got 3 so far.
Through hearing the voice of the Lord.
Okay, and is that the audible voice or the inner voice?
Let's go through the inner voice.
Okay, that's 4.
Let's go through hearing the voice of the Lord through brothers and sisters.
Okay, that's 5. Very good.
Let's talk about through nature.
Okay, that's 6.
And
give her a little help. The gift of discerning the spirits. Give her a hand. Ladies and gentlemen, here you go. Love speaks. Okay. We're having a little fun. I have one more 1-minute video to show you, and then I'm going to preach. I just want to introduce something to you that's very special. Last year, in the middle of the cancer treatments, when TBN was looking at the series, God spoke to me again. He just keeps speaking. And he said, Carl, I want you to develop a discipleship tool that'll be an e-course that people can use, you know, take on their computers or their phones, and it develops the entire 21 ways. So we rented the Landmark Center in downtown St. Paul for 3 days, and we filmed, and I have finished now. It just came out. It took us 8 months to do it. It's a full 11 to 12 hour e-course. That's 1 hour a week for 12 weeks. You could be at your home or in a small group learning the 21 ways to recognize God's multifaceted voice. It's called the Masterclass e-course. There are also 5 application sessions to take the word and apply it and be a minister of God to the world, to be a minister of his love, learn how to prophesy, learn how to hear a word from the word, learn how to fast and pray. All of it's in there. I encourage you to consider. Come on. Amen. Can you believe that was all last year? So I'll be at the back. It's called the Masterclass, and I'll walk you through, answer any questions. But let's play just the 1-minute Masterclass promo, and then I'm going to share the word.
What if you could recognize God's voice on a continual basis, and thus experience His love for you personally? I'm Carl Wesley Anderson, and if you can, welcome to the Love Speaks Masterclass. I'm giving you the opportunity as the viewer to go deeper into understanding both in Scripture. It says pursue love. That's good. Pursue love. Yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Salvation history. God has promised that He will regard the man that is of a broken and contrite spirit and trembles at His word. And practical applications, each of the 21 ways to hear God's multifaceted voice. There are no coincidences for you if you're a believer. I'll put it that way. Only holy coincidences. Like, I am so glad Jesus is my bread of life. I'm a little bit hungry. If you guys don't mind, let's take a lunch break. I do voices. Hey, are you talking to me? Oh, Father, I'm here to do my Shakespearean monologue. And of course, there's always the prompts. Like a hammer.
Wait, did we get that?
The Lord is so real, and you need to experience this for yourself. I'm Carl Wesley Anderson, and this is my masterclass.
Amen. Thank you, guys. It'd be an honor to have you sign up. I'll work with you at the back with any questions. But listen, let's go to the Word. So I want to share a very simple message. It's the Word, the voice, and the love. Everybody say it with me. The Word, the voice, and the love. That's pretty simple, right? We can all remember that throughout our week, okay? We're going to look at 3 different categories of ways that you can recognize God's multifaceted voice. Of course, there's different discipleship tools to avail yourself of. But for this morning, I want you to walk away with a fresh sort of desire for God in His Word, a fresh understanding of how the Holy Spirit speaks from within, and a fresh revelation of how the Father is reaching out to you everywhere. We're going to have a couple of clips. I'm hoping to make you cry at least once and laugh at least once. So, you know, we're going to go for that and have a little fun together. But let's look first at the Word. Now, when I preach this subject, I want to say to you, it may sound a little bit basic, but we're starting a new year. And I kind of believe as I walk with the Lord that we never graduate from the basics, right? Wherever you are in your walk today, maybe some of you are brand new believers. Maybe some of you are not yet Christians. Maybe some of you have been walking with the Lord for 50 years. I don't know. But wherever you're at, you can never graduate from the basics. But I believe the Holy Spirit gives you new dimensions of them to walk in. So I want to believe this year for you to have a new awareness of the Spirit of God, a new awareness of the love of God. My anchor scripture for love speaks is from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah was revealed by the Lord. The Lord said, "He appeared to me from of old," Jeremiah says. "He appeared to me from of old, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness." That is incredible, because that is written to Jeremiah, who was having to speak to a wide body of believers that had walked away from God, that were in sin, that were in idolatry, that were not running towards him. There was only a remnant at that time in the land, and yet the Lord prophesies and says all these wonderful things, and he says, I have loved you. So his love for you is awesome. His love for you is that he takes the initiative to love you even though you are born unlovable. Let me say that again. You all think you're born perfect. You're cute little babies. You're all over Facebook. I get so sick of all my friends posting their pictures of these beautiful little children because they're all perfect. And I'm like, no, they're really not. They're all born into sin. All people are born imperfect. We are not anywhere near perfect. In fact, the Bible says we are born as enemies to the Lord. We are born as those that are aliens and those that are going to live our lives. As soon as that baby is old enough, he hits the word. What is his favorite word? No. Rebel. See, you have a sin condition that you were born with. And yet, while you were yet a sinner, Christ Jesus made the initiative. He died for you on that cross. He bled for you. He took your place. And that's good news. And so, I want to speak about the Word. So from John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him. This is Jesus Christ, our King. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Come on, somebody. Jesus Christ, he is the Word. He is alive. So I want to open with the basics. I want to open with the Word of God. How important is the Word for your development? How important is the Word for hearing the voice? Well, let me just read you a passage here from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, if you're following along. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Okay, what is it profitable for? What is your Bible good for? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Oh, that sounds good to me. How many of you need a little bit of encouragement, teaching, maybe a little reproof or course correction or instruction in righteousness today? That's the Word. That's why the Word is so important, so vital. It says that the man or woman, I'll add, of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All of the things that God has given me to do are equipping tools for you. They're to equip you. The Word equips you. Now, the Word is important. The Word is vital. The Word is, I'll put it this way, the only infallible source of hearing God's voice. Let me say that again. I got an amen from the back. The only infallible source of hearing God's voice. There are 21 different ways in my book, but the Word is the only infallible one. It is truth. It was truth long before you were born. It will be there long after you're gone. It is eternal. My word is forever settled in heaven, says the Lord. And he also says about his presence, about love speaking. The psalmist wrote this: where can I go from your presence? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I ascend into heaven or I ascend to the pit of hell, even there will your hand lead me and your right hand will guide me. That's speaking of the fact that love is everywhere. You cannot get away from his presence, but his presence is found first and foremost in the word. So it's important you devote your life this year to the word of God. Make a fresh commitment to the word of God. Study it. You know, when you study the word, you're studying the truth. So study it. Learn about, you know, Rudyard Kipling, the old poet, wrote, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their words were what and how and why and how and when and where and who." Six questions. Six questions you can ask of every passage of Scripture. How was it written? To whom was it written? Why was it written? What is it saying to me? What was it saying to them? But more importantly, what is it saying to me today? The more you are in the Word, the more you can align your life with what the Word of God says, and the more you can align your mind with the Word of God. And as you align your mind every day with the Word of God, then everything in the culture that's hitting you from all the politics and all the stuff that's going on within the world, all of it, you can come back to the Word and say, well, I'm gonna actually believe and trust and walk by the Word of God. The only infallible source. You and I are fallible. Prophets are fallible. You know? You guys have prophets in the house. We don't always get it right. We don't, and you know what? The Lord allows that. That's good for us because we need to repent sometimes and come back and say, gosh, you know, I see through a glass darkly, but I am seeing. It's good that you prophesy. You got to prophesy. But don't let the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the apostolic prophetic or any of that elevate the word. The word must always be the foundation. The word must come first. The word must be the very anchor in which you put your hope in. The word is attached to every other way. If you can't find it in the word, don't believe it. If you can find it in the word, stand on it. I made a commitment last year. I'm just going to confess my sins before you for a moment. I made a commitment to read the whole word last year. I was really dedicated, man. I got going. I got into Genesis 1:1. I kept going. I'm having a good time. I'm reading. I'm spending hours and hours. I'm re-highlighting things. God's revealing new things to me. I get through Genesis, and my year is progressing. Get through Exodus. Doing good. I'm doing good so far, guys, right? I get to the next one. Exodus, Leviticus. Oh, man, that was a toughie. That took me a while. Leviticus took me like 3 months to get through. I was like, okay. And then I got toward the end of my year, I got to Numbers, and I'm not kidding. I got through Numbers, up to Numbers 19. I'll show you the spot here. I got to Numbers 19 and the ordinance of the red heifer. What the heck is this? So now I'm studying the red heifer for like a week. I'm like, oh, this is good stuff, the red heifer. You know, I like red. Red is a good color. Anyway, and then I picked it up again. So I'm rereading. I'm back in it. But whatever you do, okay, I'm just telling you, get your own program and get into that word and study it and meditate. Oh, there's such power in starting your day with a scripture and then meditating on it, isn't there? You know, throughout the day, you're chewing on it. The Lord said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous and meditate on my law. Meditate on my word. There's power in the meditation. It takes discipline. It takes self-control. Sometimes you got to set your phone and just alert yourself. Now I'm going to meditate on scripture, and you think about it and you pray it through. There's power in meditation. There's power in aligning yourself with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to close this little portion of the message with a little clip from my masterclass. I wanted to introduce just one four-minute clip out of the 11 and a half hours of teaching in there to give you a story that will inspire you. And if you don't have your Kleenex ready, get it ready, because I'm hoping you'll have a few tears in your eyes for this story, but I heard this story from Dr. Ravi Zacharias at an incredible conference for itinerant evangelists in 1994, sponsored by Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. Billy Graham was our keynote speaker. Ravi Zacharias was the next night. I sat there as a young 24-year-old just soaking this in. And he told this story, and I want to relate it to you because it just gives us a fresh desire for trembling at the word. It's called Tremble at the Word. It's in Love Speaks, Lesson 1. And I would like to have us play this video right now.
Turned out he was raised in a very strong Christian family, but he went his own way during the college years. He befriended a man named Jacob Ames, who was not a believer, and they became best friends. So Judson sort of left his faith and ran into the ways of the world and graduated near the top of his class and decided he would go into perhaps theater. He wasn't sure. He was looking at the different possible courses of his life. His friend, Jacob Ames, went his own way, and they didn't speak for a long time. About 6 months later, late one night, Judson was very tired riding his horse on his way back to his home in Malden, Massachusetts. He stopped at an inn, and as he checked in very, very late, the innkeeper apologized and said, "Sir, I'm sorry, we have no room for you. You're going to have to move on." And Judson said, "No, you don't understand. I'm exhausted. I need to sleep. I'll take whatever you have." The innkeeper paused and said, "Well, we do have one room available, sir, but I hesitate to give it to you because it's adjacent to another room where a man lies dying this evening, and we don't expect him to live." Judson said, "It's all right. I'm tired. Give me the room." But as Judson lay in his bed that night, with only the wall separating his bed from this man next door, all he could hear all night in his room were these screams, these cries of almost like terror and fear coming from this room. And finally, about 2 a.m, the noises subsided and Judson fell asleep. Well, in the morning, he went to pay his bill. And he said, "Sir, what happened to that man last night?" And the innkeeper said, "Well, I'm very sorry, sir, but we lost him last night. And what we can't understand is that this man had such a great life ahead of him. He graduated first in his class at Rhode Island College, and his name was Jacob Ames." And Judson said, "Excuse me, sir, what was his name?" He said, "His name was Jacob Ames." Suddenly, Judson realized that this man that died in fear without God was his best friend that had just graduated with him at college. And Judson got on his horse, and as he was riding his horse, it was as if the hooves of the horse thundered in the ground. Lost, death, lost, hell, lost. And 4 months later, Adoniram Judson bowed his knee to Jesus Christ and became a follower of Jesus. And I want to close this session from this first edition about his life with a quote about how important the Word of God is for you. "God is waiting to be gracious," he wrote, "and is willing to make us happy in Christianity if we would not run away from him. We refuse to open the window shutters, and we complain it's too dark. We grieve the Holy Spirit by little sins, and thus lose our only support. Perhaps the secret of living a holy life is to avoid everything which will displease God and grieve the Spirit, and to be strictly attentive to the means of grace. God has promised that he will regard the man that is of a broken and contrite spirit and trembles at his word." You know, sorry for the tears, but this is a real story. And it's time that you and I trembled again at the Word of God. This is the only infallible source of hearing his voice. So learn it, study it, tremble before it, and let it bring life to you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Tremble at the word. Tremble at the word. That's from the Love Speaks Masterclass. Now we're going to go to The Voice. We're doing good for time. Everybody still with me? All right. Let's learn about this voice. We kind of had a nice picture of it this morning in that other prophetic word we had from our sister. And if you heard the Lord in that word, he basically said, I'm hearing you. Cry, speak to me. Cry out to me. I hear every word. There's a sense that God wants you to develop a dialogue with him. So we're going to look at the difference in this session of what that means. But how awesome is it that you and I are sitting here this morning and we are on the other side of the cross, on the first side of the cross before the coming of Christ. The only way you could hear the voice of God was if a prophet stood up in your midst and gave you the word of the Lord, or you heard it externally like Moses did in the burning bush. There was no internal voice. There was no way. You were barred from having a relationship in your human spirit until the coming of Christ. And when you accepted Jesus, when you said, yes, Jesus, I want a relationship with you, he comes in, he moves in, he brings in the Holy Spirit, he activates you, he activates your spirit. Now suddenly you can hear his voice. And it's an inner voice. You know, it's found in Scripture multiple times. But one of my favorites is when Philip was in Samaria. He was doing all these miracles. This great revival broke out with Philip in Acts chapter 8. Then the Lord called him down this desert road, and he's like, why am I being called away from revival in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere? And then the voice says within him, he sees this chariot coming. The voice says, Philip, join that chariot. Remember the story? That's the inner voice. It wasn't some external, you know, I don't believe it was a voice like, Philip, join this chariot. You know, it wasn't like that. That's the audible voice. That's number 21 on our list. Very rare. Most of you will never hear the audible voice, and that's okay. I think it's much better if you hear the inner voice. That one you can hear every day if you're listening. The inner voice of the Spirit. So let me define it for you. What is it? Well, very simply, it's the Holy Spirit speaking within your human spirit, and he flows out your mind. Okay? So pretty simple. It could either be a thought, like a spontaneous thought, and you think, where'd that come from? I wasn't thinking about that. And you know it was God. Or sometimes it's a flood of thoughts. Sometimes it's a number of things or phrases or understandings that just are like an instant download to you. How many of you can say with a surety, I have heard that voice? Come on. That's right. Beautiful. Now, hopefully made you cry a little bit there. What a story, huh? He graduates the top of his class with his best friend, Jacob Ames. 6 months later, Jacob Ames dies, brings Adoniram Judson to Christ. By the way, Adoniram Judson became America's first missionary, gave his whole heart. He went to India, where Pastor Mark and Becky are now. He was shut out of India. They wouldn't let him in to preach. Praise God they let Pastor Mark and Becky in and the team. But come on, because of Judson, because of these guys. They were the pioneers. So they sent him to Burma, and they imprisoned him. And a long story short, Adoniram Judson translated the entire Bible into the Burmese language and gave the Burmese Jesus Christ in the Word before he died. Come on. Powerful. So we're looking at this inner voice. Let me ask you a question. What are three possible voices that could be in your head today? There are only three choices. Who could be, what kind of thoughts, who could be the source of your thoughts? Or who could be, what three voices are there possible? Let me hear you. Yourself, okay? Normally that's you, right? You're normally in a conversation with yourself all day long, all the time. Who else? The Lord and the enemy. You pretty much got it, okay? That's it. It's either you or it's the enemy or it's the Lord. You say, well, Brother Carl, how do you know the difference? It's a good question. Anybody else want to answer that for me? Okay. Any takers? No? Okay. Well, I'll put it this way. Most often, when the Lord is speaking to you through a thought or flood of thoughts originating from your spirit, flowing out your mind, it is usually going to line up with the fruit of the Spirit. It's usually going to line up with love, with joy, peaceful thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Thoughts that'll maybe stir you to repentance and have temperance and faith and things like that. When it's the enemy, usually it's going to be a thought that's going to be a bitterness or a root judgment against somebody or something that's going to be a curse or something. You start, and you have to stand up, right? And you have to rebuke those thoughts. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to hopefully make you guys laugh a little bit here. I'm going to ask you a question. What does the voice of God sound like? Gentle. Oh, you're okay. Larry gets a gold star. Did you hear him? He said, "My wife." Okay. He gets that boy, that is better than a foot rub saying that right now in front of all these people. The voice of God through my wife or husband. Amen. What else? Soft. Authority. Love. Okay, I'm going to illustrate what the voice of God sounds like. I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to do a few illustrations. Sounds like you. So if you're Robert De Niro, you know, from Taxi Driver and all these different movies, Robert De Niro, you're in New York City. You're talking to God. Let me do my little De Niro impression, right? So if Robert De Niro was a Christian, this is what he'd be like this. You talking to me? You talking to me? Hey, you talking to me? And God's in heaven. He's like, yeah, I'm talking to you. Are you talking to me? You see, thank you. I got a little clap over there. You see, to Robert De Niro, God sounds like Robert De Niro. If you're Irish, right, and you're talking to the Lord, if it's very easy to do the Irish accent, by the way, all you have to do is pretend like you're singing. Anybody here from Belfast? No? All right, good. I can do my Irish accent and not be like a fool, because it's not really good, actually, but it's not bad. You know, but if you're in Ireland and you're talking like this to God, he's going to talk like this back to you. He sounds like you. Now, just for fun, I want to illustrate for you now the point of the inner voice is like a dialogue. So do we have any William Shakespeare fans here? Okay, a few of you. Okay, so let me set this up for you. This is one of Shakespeare's most famous monologues. He wrote this. It's from Henry V. Henry V has been marching for 3 days in the French soil. The men are weak. They're wet. They're facing 60,000 well-armed French, and there's only 12,000 English. 5-1 odds against them. This is in 1414 at Agincourt. And so Henry V needs to come on, and he needs to inspire his troops to fight. And so here's what he says. What's he that wishes so, my cousin Westmoreland? Fair cousin, if we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. But if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor, God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. Proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach for this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company who fears his fellowship to die with us. Today is called the Feast of Crispian. And he which outlives this day and comes safe home shall yearly on the vigil remember it. Then shall he strip his sleeves and show his scars and say, these wounds had I on Crispin's day. Old men forget and all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in their mouths as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick, be on their mouths as flowing cups, freshly remembered. This story shall a good man teach his son, and there shall ne'er a day go by but from now unto the ending of the world. But we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Little monologue for you. Now, that's how some of us have been taught to pray. Oh, Father, good morning. Lord of heaven and earth and all that is in the seas and all that dwells upon the ground. And, oh, Father, I am but a worm and no man.
I come before you this day, Father, because you are great and you are holy. Did I mention that you are the Lord of heaven and earth? Oh, yes, I think I did. That's your title. And Lord, I know it's going to be a great day. Bless my day in Jesus' name. Amen. And off we go. That's our monologue. It's time to stop doing monologue prayers and start having a dialogue with God. Let me give you an illustration. Anybody here heard of the ice cream truck? Come on. When my little daughter was 8 years old, ice cream truck. When my little daughter was 8 years old and the ice cream truck appeared in the neighborhood, right? You'd hear the music. All the kids would get excited and go running. Listen, well, she didn't come up to me at age 8 and go, "Oh, Father, Lord of the Anderson Manor, Father of Ethan, Gideon, and me, oh, unworthy Zoe, and son of Wes and Laurie Anderson of Brainard, Minnesota, oh, have mercy upon me. Oh, Father, wouldst thou grant me 50 cents for the ice cream truck? Oh, please." No, she didn't do that. She came up to me and she grabbed my coat and she said, "Daddy, Daddy, 50 cents, 50 cents right now." That's how we have to be in dialogue with the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. So let me talk about the love. So we've had the word. You got to be in your word. We've had the inner voice. Now let me talk about the love, and then we're going to close with a little portion of just one 3-minute segment that I'll set up in a minute from Love Speaks, the director's cuts. But let me tell you about the voice. When we look at the voice and the love, we're thinking of Father. If I can make it very simple to you, Jesus Christ himself speaks to you primarily through the word. The Holy Spirit speaks to you primarily within your human spirit. And the Father primarily speaks externally. So when he speaks externally, he's speaking in his nature and in his creation, isn't he? And he's speaking in things like providential circumstances. And I'll define those for you. Let me look first at nature. I could preach from the book of Romans all day. I love Romans. Let me just read to you a little bit from Romans chapter 1 here. You know, Paul is trying to tell all people of all time that God has put his witness, who he is. He says, "That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." Verse 20 of chapter 1, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." He's basically saying all of creation witnesses the love of the Father. Most people never, they go about their day and they never stop to listen or recognize. God could be speaking to me in the cry of a bird in the sky, or the sound of the wind in the trees, or the changing of the seasons, or the minus 60 degree wind chill in St. Cloud, Minnesota this week. You know, whatever. God, right? God is present in all of his creation. And we're going to close in a few minutes with a story from history to really inspire you in that way. But I want to talk for a moment about providence. Providence. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? We don't hear it very often, but it's a beautiful word, providence. It's defined as this. God as your Father is going ahead of you. He's gone ahead of you on your path. He's gone ahead of you on your journey of faith. He's already, I put it this way in Love Speaks, the book. He's already visited your tomorrow. He's already in your tomorrow so he can speak faith to you today. Does that make sense? He's gone ahead of you. There's no place on earth you can go where your Father has not already gone ahead of you to prepare a good way for you to walk in it. And I'll illustrate this for you. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 1, listen to the revelation. Moses is here recalling the whole journey of the Israelites in the wilderness. And he's remembering, he's reminding them again of what the Lord did for them. Do you remember what he did for them in the wilderness? What did the Lord provide in the wilderness to lead the children of Israel? Somebody. Manna, that was, okay, that was, okay, manna's good. I didn't have that in my notes, but that's the word, right? We need to eat our fresh manna. The manna was not good the next day, so be in the word. What else did he provide? Okay, quail. Okay, that's good too. Okay, I didn't have that in my notes either. Fine. He gave him quail. Food. Would you guys stop being so smart? What else? I heard it over here. Pillar of fire. Okay. I was going for that, but that's, you guys are good. Quail and, all right, you're thinking, I know, you're thinking of lunch. You're like, Brother Carl, would you wrap this message up? My roast is in the oven. Gonna eat some quail today. Now listen. So, this is the Lord speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 30. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son. This is the revelation of the Father all the way in Deuteronomy. The Lord goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night and in cloud by day to show you the way in which you should go. Think about that. Think about God setting that supernatural substance in the sky that led the children of Israel. Now, that substance, it was not a cloud. It had the appearance of a cloud. So that, okay, let me ask you a question. If you're in the desert and it's hot, what is it nice to have during the day from the sun to help you? Shade. Shade. So it was a cloud by day. It was shade for them. They felt cool as they made their way on their journey. The Father's love for them provided shade. And how about at night when it gets cold? What do you need at night to stay warm in the desert? Fire, born to blaze, heat. We sang about it today. You need the pillar of fire. So he sets it. Now it becomes a pillar of fire by night to give them heat when it's cool. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God's providence for you? That no matter what you're going through today, God has already visited your tomorrow so he can speak to you because love speaks today. Now we're going to wrap up this message with a video clip from the Love Speaks Director's Cut series. I want to inspire you with this. Now, this is really cool. I felt the Lord. I did most of my filming in the UK, but I was really impacted by the story of the hiding place of Sister Corrie Ten Boom from World War II, who, well, it's amazing. It's in the Director's Cut. You have to get a hold of Director's Cuts, Episode 7. I visit the hiding place where she and her sister Betsy and their father hid away 800 Jewish people to keep them from dying in front of the Nazis, to keep them from going to the camps. They hid away 800 Jewish people during the war in this little room in the hiding place. And then she was arrested. Now, she was taken to two different camps, and I contacted one of them in Germany. But when they found out I was a Christian and I was doing a documentary that would inspire believers, they did not allow me to visit there and film. So I hit a brick wall in my pre-production. I said, Lord, where do I go to film the story? He said, she was held in Holland first. I found the place. I contacted them. I had a wide open door. I came and I filmed inside the actual concentration camp where this story happens. And I want to kind of close this message of Love Speaks. I want to remind you of a few things. I want to remind you of the fact that God opened the service today and said, I am. I am. No matter what you're going through, you can put your money on that. I am. He is the I am. He is who he is. He will always be who he will always be. He is the Lord. And the I am is speaking, and he's with you. We looked at the Word. Jesus Christ is the eternal Word made flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and full of grace and truth. And that's the Jesus that leads you. I encourage you, study the Word, meditate on the Word, ask yourself those questions in the Word, get to know the Word, and get to know the Lord of the Word in 2019. We saw how the Holy Spirit's voice is communicating within. And I challenge you, make your prayer life not a Shakespearean monologue, but a dialogue where when you need something, you just talk to God and he talks back to you. And remember what he sounds like. He's in your head. He sounds like you. So remember to learn how to distinguish the different voices in your head. And when it's him, he'll have peace. He'll give you love. You'll know it's him. You'll have joy. And you can follow in a dialogue with the Holy Spirit. Finally, we looked at the importance of the love, the word, the voice, and the love. Everyone say it with me. The word, the voice, and the love. The love is the Father. His love reaches everywhere. It permeates everywhere. I think what we're going to do before we roll this clip is I would like us, just some of our worship team, to come on up. And then if you are on the prayer team, just stay seated. But I'm going to call you up after this clip ends. We'll have a closing prayer. And then I'm going to invite up the ministry team. And listen, if you're out there this morning and you just want prayer for a deeper connection with the word, the voice, or the love, I encourage you toward the end as we're wrapping up here, come up here, get some prayer. I'll be back at the table with some helpers, and I'll be there to autograph some books and help you walk you through some of the resources. I pray and hope you'll avail yourself of them. We have different offers back there. And come and talk to me and let me pray with you and be with you, and let's roll this clip, and then we're going to come into a closing prayer, and then we'll have the prayer team. Is that all right? Okay. So let's roll this clip. This is from Love Speaks, Episode 6, The Director's Cut, the story of Corrie Ten Boom encountering the Father's love in the pit of hell.
Moving in history now away from these inspirational stories of the ancient Celtic Christian saints to another time in history, World War II, where we're about to discover that love speaks through nature and creation, even in some of the most darkest places. I'm here today inside the barbed wire of a concentration camp in Holland. It's a cold day, and in this very camp, Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were incarcerated just after being arrested at the hiding place. The hiding place has become known in Christian history as a special place, a watchmaker's shop in Amsterdam, where the Ten Boom family, as Christians, followers of Jesus, took it upon themselves to risk their own lives and their own potential suffering and death in order to save Jewish families from being taken away to concentration camps. Of all things, they were arrested, and Corrie and Betsy were taken right here. You say, why have I come here today inside this barbed wire? It's because I want to tell you a most remarkable story of what actually happened to Corrie while she was held here. Listen carefully to Corrie Ten Boom's own journal entry of what happened on an incredible morning as she beheld intense suffering and evil right here in this very camp and in the courtyard just adjacent to where I'm standing today.
When I was in a concentration camp during the last war, we had to stand every day for 2 or 3 hours for roll call, often in the icy cold wind. That was something terrible. Once a woman guard used these hours to demonstrate her cruelty. I could hardly bear to see and hear what happened in front of me. Suddenly, a skylark started to sing high in the sky. We all looked up, and when I looked to the sky and listened to its song, I looked still higher and thought of Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Suddenly, I saw that this love of God was a greater reality than the cruelty that I experienced myself and saw around me. Oh, the love of God, how deep and great, far deeper than man's deepest hate. God sent that skylark every day for 3 weeks, just at the time of roll call, to give us an opportunity to turn away our eyes from the cruelty of men to the ocean of God's love. Corrie Ten Boom.
Wow, the ocean of God's love. What powerful words are these? from Sister Corrie Ten Boom, a Christian, as she beheld right here that incredible skylark that appeared every morning for 3 weeks to remind all those women that God's love is greater than the greatest evil we could ever experience. It's important to pause once in a while and realize how the Father of all creation is reaching out to you. Do you dare to listen to the sound of a skylark, and in so doing, have the witness of the Holy Spirit witness within you that that skylark is being sent from the Father himself to remind you there is no pit that you can experience where his love and his presence is not deeper still. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there will your hand lead me. Even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day.
Amen. Love speaks. Love speaks. So let's all stand together. We'll have a worship song together. And I just want to pray a blessing over you this day. So just reach out your hands to the Lord. And I'm going to bless you now. Father, I just speak a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ to each one that's gathered here at Jubilee. And we also remember a blessing upon Pastor Mark and Becky and the team in India. We speak the blessings and the word of the Lord over them and the blessings of the Holy Spirit over their mission. I bless each person here, and I speak an igniting in their spirits to hear your voice in new ways. I speak an igniting in their spirits to go to study the Word of God and meditate upon it. I speak an igniting of expectation of faith that they will understand this week that you are actively going ahead of them to prepare a good way, that, Lord, you are the fire by night and the cloud by day. And I bless each one now, and I speak that beautiful blessing over you. Now may the Lord this week bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And come on up, prayer team. Come on up for prayer, for igniting. And let's sing and let's worship. And I bless you now.